to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go hard, and just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive, just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and as always, just tapping into your higher self. And as you all know, we just keep the most dynamic individuals on this podcast. I really like to label them as like trailblazers in their respective fields. And today, basically, we got someone who's super talented. He's a businessman, entrepreneur, music producer extraordinaire. We are talking about no other than my brother, Hilton Wright II. Hilton, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's going on, Kyle? Good to see you. Good to be here.
Man, same here, bro. Same here, man. We happy to have you, man. So we definitely going to have a great interview, bro.
Cool. I'm ready.
Definitely, man. So, you know what I normally like to do when we first start, like just having the interviews with our guests, is kind of just start from the beginning. Because a lot of times people, like that saying goes, you know, people don't know, you don't know where you're headed unless you know where you came from. So right. For the people who aren't too familiar with you or your musical journey, can you just talk about like the early years for you, like growing up and how you transitioned to actually getting into music? Like, what did that look like for you?
Definitely. So I'm originally from the Detroit, Michigan area, right outside Detroit City, Southfield, Farmington Hills, like suburbs right outside the city. And, you know, we have a strong background in music with, you know, Motown. And even though Motown left Detroit in like the 70s, the talent and the remnants and descendants of, you know, like all of that, all of the talent from Motown is like still in the city. And so I always say, you know, you can throw a rock and hit somebody with a great voice in Detroit, or, you know, find a songwriter or a great musician, you know, like any band you go see play, like any A-list artist, someone in their band is from Detroit. So music is in the city. And so just growing up there naturally, I was born in 86. So that was like right before the bad era for Michael Jackson. And so I was just captivated by MJ and got to grow up, you know, in that like prime MJ era. And that really was like the starting point for me musically. And was just listening to Mike and then singing in the choir at church and doing, you know, Michael Jackson and talent shows. And then I was playing in the band at school. And, you know, all of that just kind of led to when I got to high school, my cousin and I, we were rapping and producing all of our music and started a label where we would put that out. And so, you know, one thing just kind of like led to the next. It just always like evolved. And in 2004, I graduated from high school, went down to Atlanta to go to Morehouse. And when I was in Atlanta, that's really kind of like where my career started professionally, because that was the first time I was in a city where, you know, decisions were being made. And it was real like industry people that you could connect with and opportunities. And so Atlanta just changed my life. And I hit the ground running when I got there. And, you know, just all the industry events and beat battles, and just built up my network with people. And, you know, one thing that I'll say is that I got to see firsthand, that I continue to see firsthand in my life, is like, you know, how I meet these people in all different levels and positions in the industry. And over the years, I get to see them level up. So a lot of people that I met, you know, that were like interns and assistants in 2000, you know, 4, 5, 6 are now like VPs and like head of companies and, you know, the decision makers. And so I've really just been blessed to have this incredible network of people. And just really, I mean, you know, I was really just kind of like, go hard or go home. And, you know, when I learned very early that you have to be ready at all times, because Atlanta was the city where, you know, you go to the mall and you run into an artist here, or, you know, being on campus in the AUC, it's always artists. I remember Nas pulled up one day in the Phantom, like him and his dad were going to speak to a class. And so, you know, I used to have like beat CDs on me. I would keep one in every coat that I had, in my glove compartment, in my backpack, because boom, if I happen to see, oh damn, there go Joel Santana in Lennox. Hey man, here go a BCD. And so, you know, I was really heavy in, just on the production tip at that point. And so yeah, you know, I just learned to be ready, kept good notes, kept good calendar, contacts, reminders. And, you know, people just saw that I was hungry. I was always on it, and I just killed every opportunity that came my way. And, you know, at the same time, while I was doing that, my cousin, we were production partners at the time. He was back in Detroit, and he met this kid who had just rapped for Kanye at the radio station. And he was like, yo, you want to sign me? We started making music with him. And, you know, that was Big Sean. And we just made music with Sean and would send it to Kanye. And that eventually led to Sean getting signed to Good Music. And then subsequently Def Jam after that. And so that was, you know, that's just always a big part in my story, because we helped cultivate an artist sound and helped to get their career off the ground, you know. And so you know, a lot of people don't have that opportunity or that type of success. You know, we all work with, you know, artists, and when we're in the very beginning broke stages in our living rooms and basements, but, you know, to see something go from like there to here is, you know, just, I'll always cherish that. So, but from there, went on to work with, you know, other artists like Mike Posner, who also kind of like similar story with Sean, to where, you know, we all came up together. Sophia Reyes, who is, you know, a major Latin pop superstar now, but was unsigned as well when I first started working with her, and I did two songs on her first album. And really, like, all the success I've had has been like those same types of situations where they're unsigned, and the music that we do together kind of like helps them get their deal and get their career off the ground. So, you know, I mean, other people like Faith Evans and Drake, Rick Ross, Pusha T, by way of like some features with Sean, and then worked on Blackish on the Juneteenth episode, helping to produce and co-write one of the songs, and work on another one. So yeah, man, it's just been, you know, a lot. And it's been great, man.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And just to unpack some of those dynamic things that you just said, because that was just like a lot of powerful stuff, man. Like, that was powerful, bro. That was like a bomb, like, whoosh. You know, one thing I wanted to unpack was, you spoke about Morehouse. And one of my cousins, Carol Bell, she went to Morehouse. And I have like some other great friends that went to Morehouse as well.
Or did she go to Spelman?
She went to, wait a minute. Morehouse is,
that's all male.
That's the male side of it. Spelman is the female side, right?
Right.
Yeah, she was in Spelman. Yeah.
Okay.
So that, right. Okay, cool. So, so basically like,
they right next door to each other.
Right. Next door. So when I think Morehouse, you know, I just think, you know, because I never went.
I got you.
Right?
Gotcha.
But,
got you.
You know, to hear her talk about the HBCU experience and how it's so rich in culture, just in terms from, even just from being a minority, to be surrounded with like-minded people that are driven, that are motivated, that they have, they just have ambition, because it's something about making a cognizant decision to say, I'm going to attend a historical Black college university. That means I'm invested not only in myself, but I'm invested in my culture. I'm invested in our history and our people. So can you kind of just talk about that experience for you and what it was like for listeners that they might not necessarily have attended a HBCU, but they still have questions about it? Like, what was your experience like?
Man, it was great. It was life changing. I mean, I always say, you know, Detroit raised me and Morehouse made me because it really kind of like gave me all of the game. Because, you know, with Morehouse specifically, you know, it's all male and it's a rather prestigious academic school. And the funny thing about that is I was, you know, not a great student in school. I was, you know, poor academics all through school. So I barely got into Morehouse. I got into Morehouse on academic probation. And so I had to like, you know, perform above a certain level, like my first year in order for me to stay. And then I barely graduated. So
why'd you barely graduate?
Well, you know, man, I've just always been so focused on the music. Like I knew what I was trying to do when I got there. I think when I got there, I was still like rapping, like that first like semester. I was still kind of like on the artist tip. But
oh, so you used to be an artist, like an art.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody used to rap.
Right, right, right. Wait, just so they get a fun fact. What was your rap name? What was your musician name? Like your rap name?
So I went by Deuce. So Deuce is my nickname just in life in general, because I'm named after my dad. And okay. So he decided to call me Deuce, like when my mom was pregnant with me. And so I just went by Deuce, you know, it was just okay. Natural. All my family calls me Deuce. So yeah, and I used to rap and I was still kind of like on that, but then when I got down there and I saw like, you know, the working industry, and I was like, man, I think I really, you know, the fact that I could get these, you know, beats that I was making that were really for like my cousin and I, or, you know, like selling them to like local artists back home, I could really maybe like get them to Ludacris or, you know, the T.I., you know? And so I was like, I really want to kind of like focus on being, you know, a producer. And so, yeah, but anyway, it was cool because Morehouse is in the AUC, which is the Atlanta University Center. So it's surrounded by Spelman, Clark Atlanta University, Morse Brown, which while I was there and now doesn't have the attendance like it did back in the day because they had lost their accreditation. But, you know, when they were like fully on campus, it was like maybe the size of like all three of those schools put together, you know. And then it has ITC, which is a seminary, and then it has Morehouse School of Medicine. Same name as Morehouse College, but completely separate entity, but it's a graduate medical school. So, you know, for me now, coming from, you know, Detroit is 80% Black. So even when I was staying out, you know, in the suburbs outside the city, we have Southfield is like a predominantly Black suburb, which is kind of like rare, like as I've traveled around, but like Atlanta was just like different. Like when T.I. talks about how, you know, Atlanta is Wakanda, it really kind of is like the closest thing to what we see in the movie. And so on campus, you think about how Morehouse and Spelman being like these academically rigorous, prestigious schools, you're talking about going to every state, getting like that top Black student in like all the schools around the country, and then, you know, bringing them down in that, like, you know, square radius or whatever. And so I was around some of the brightest minds and like the sharpest guys from all over. So you just get to like soak up game from other guys that are on the same tip like you. Everybody like at Morehouse is like trying to be, you know, this CEO or this top lawyer, this judge, so on and so forth. And I just soaked up game. Because when I was in high school, I went to a predominantly Black high school, graduated from there. And I've never known Black males to be interested in academics. You know, we always just kind of like wanted to get by, and, you know, it was more so the girls, and the girls maybe like do the guys' homework. Like that was never like a thing. And so it blew my mind, still to this day does, like at Morehouse, how like, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to, like, getting A's is cool. Oh, man, you know, this professor's tripping. And, like, they're studying. Like, I always kind of, like, even felt out of that because, like I said, I was always just trying to get by. Like, but, yeah, that was the thing that was really empowering, was just seeing. And also another thing is you're comfortable around, you know, folks that look like you in your own skin. So, you know, growing up, I was like in predominantly white schools up until 10th grade when we had moved. And so, you know, you might not want to ask a certain question because you don't want to, you know, look like you don't understand, even though you might not be the only person. But, you know, right. At times you feel like you have the weight of the Black community, like
on your shoulders, represented.
And like, you know, my mom would tell me that. And so, you know, you get down to Morehouse and it's like, no one's looking at you like the Black kid. Everybody in here, you know, is Black. And so, yeah, I think, you know, it was just great. And really, man, like, it's really just like, you're in a bubble, you know. I mean, technically, because obviously you're on this huge college campus with, you know, all these academically upward folk. But like, even graduation, you know, post-graduation, like, all the people I know through like Morehouse and Spelman, and my wife went to Spelman, like, it's really just kind of like crazy just being tapped into, you know, this upper echelon of just like Black folks. That's like, I mean, bro, I know people like everywhere, you know, just because of that. And so it was empowering. That's what it was. And especially being in a city like Atlanta, which, like I said, it's just like a city filled with like Black success. You know, I think it really helped me when I came out to places like LA, because I know who I am, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, might not know, you know, and I think you got to know who you are.
That's a fact. And, you know, I agree with that 110%. I feel like the power of knowledge itself, knowing who you are and having those roots, mm-hmm. because I feel like, and I know, you know, for the listeners, like, we might be veering off a little bit from music, but this is important. Right. I feel that, you know what I'm saying? I feel like culturally, especially with minorities, historically, when you look like, you know, a Black person, when you look like a certain shade, that the things that have happened historically have torn you apart from your culture, from your history. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. slavery and all the things they did, putting, people from Africa that they knew intentionally spoke different languages from different tribes, so they couldn't communicate amongst themselves, you know? And then it's like, you bring them over here. So, you know, that kind of got ripped apart and destroyed. So to be able to have these HBCUs, that's very, very important. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's awesome, man. I'm happy to hear that, bro. You know, one thing that I want to say to you too, man, because you got so many accomplishments, so many dope fire records, man. Like, can you let us know, like, some of the records that are special to you, that are the ones that are like the most like, wow, man, I love that record, man. Like, that speaks to my soul. Like, what are some of your biggest accomplishments / records that you're proud of?
Man, you know, it's crazy, like, to hear you say that, another people say that, because I feel like I'm just getting started and like I haven't really done anything, but that's because I'm on the inside, you know, mm-hmm. like, so, you know, objectivity is, you know, great. But obviously, I would say that the Juneteenth episode of Blackish was just really big moment for the culture. You know, it was big ratings wise, and they got nominated for an Emmy that season. And, you know, the episode I worked on was the season premiere. But, you know, what that did, it was like a real moment, because, you know, I heard how Tim Cook from Apple, he added Juneteenth to the Apple calendar after seeing that episode.
Wow.
In addition to just kind of like this awareness of how when we had the, you know, racial kind of like reckoning last year, you know, that Juneteenth snowball had really kind of like picked up a lot with that episode. And so when, you know, it kind of like helped with the movement to have it become a federal holiday. Mm-hmm. And so like being a part of that, you know, to me is I've had these moments that are kind of like, in my opinion, more special than a number one record. You know, the fact that you can be a part of like a moment culturally that, you know, a lot of people look to and will look at, and that helped with the overall movement. And that, you know, the same thing, like I was saying, like, even with like Big Sean, you know, like all the songs that we did for Big Sean, the majority of his fans don't know. You know, we did like the majority of like his first two mixtapes. We did the first song that he ever did with Drake called Made. That was on his third mixtape. And we did his very first single called Get You Some that premiered on 106 and Park, like back when, you know, back when like it was on and popping and it was the new joint of the day. And but like, I haven't worked with Sean in years. And so, you know, like I said, I'm not a part of like his modern discography. But what everything we did that helped get him to where he is now, to me is kind of like I said, like for me it's kind of like more special than just like if I would have just got like a beat to him and it became like number one, because I've been in the trenches with the artist. I know every step in that process, and now I'm also able to identify like which train is going to like really take off, and I know kind of like what that process entails and so on and so forth. So for me, I would say, you know, so far in my career, those two things. But I'm also really excited about everything I'm doing with 715, which is my new company that I started last year. And that's like really, you know, like where my focus is.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And, you know, I view you as like an architect, because you're able to work with this talent, cultivate the talent, and it takes off, which is the most important, because that beginning stage, it's like when Barry Gordy had Motown and like he would cultivate the talent. So it wasn't just about the music. You could help him, you know, just very hands-on. So that's awesome, man. That's really great.
Oh, thank you, man. That's a big compliment, because I love architecture, you know, and I'm always, you know, like I have HGTV on like all the time, like in the background, working on music. And, you know, that's my go-to channel. You know, I know a lot of people be on ESPN. I be on the HGTV.
That's what's
because
up.
Because I see it the same way, you know, like everything, when I sit down and, you know, I'm working on a verse or a chorus or, you know, some track idea, like it's the same idea of like going, especially like when, you know, renovation shows. I love when they're like, man, here's this, like, you know, this house that really might be like trash to the layman, you know, just like regular eyes. But boom, if we do this, take this away, think about it like this, or we could do this. Like, that's the same way that I see like the music making process and really how I like to, you know, approach things. I love kind of like working with things that are, you know, forgotten or things that, you know, have potential or like a small nugget of an idea.
That's dope. That's fire. That's fire, man. You know, that leads me to something else, man. A question that I have for you that we ask everybody that comes on the podcast. So that question is, what is your mantra? And everybody knows, like, my mantra is persistence wears down resistance. So having that mental fortitude, no matter what obstacles may come, what challenges, you don't ever get derailed. You stay focused, you locked in, and you just crush your goals every time. Another one I have is, collaboration is greater than competition. Like, I truly believe in the power of working with like-minded people and people that are driven like you, motivated, and you guys can just come together to create something phenomenal. So for the listeners out there, like, what is your mantra? What's something that keeps you going and has kept you going throughout the years?
You know, one thing that always speaks to me is, you know, if you stay ready, you never have to get it ready. You know, that for me is like, I stay ready. You know, I don't like playing catch up. I have, you know, I think I have great foresight. So I'm always thinking 6 months out, a year out, and I don't like surprises. And when surprises do come, you know, I got something tucked away to, you know, take care of that. So if you stay ready, you ain't never got to get ready.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. Yeah. Well, you know, I definitely, man, you know, I appreciate, man, all the gems that you provided today, brother. And we looking forward to the actual seminar, man. You know, people.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to it.
Great.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Bro.
No, thank you for having me, man. I'm excited.
Definitely, bro. Definitely. So anything that you got going on upcoming, man, that you want to let the people know about, brother? Anything you want to tell them? Like, what's on the horizon? I know you got the new company. So what's on the horizon for you guys?
Yeah, so you can check me out at HiltonWright.com. That's Hilton like the hotel, Wright like the Wright brothers. And then it's links to like everything from there. So 715 is my new company, and it's really a forward-thinking, you know, music company in that, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's a record label, but you know, mm-hmm. I am the sole artist that signed to it, and I'm collaborating with different artists for different projects. So, you know, very similar to what we see in, you know, Khaled do today, and Quincy Jones has done, Mark Ronson, so on and so forth. And so I'm working on, you know, a string of releases for 2022 right now, next year. And, you know, I've put out 4 records already, and with a range of different artists. You know, the idea is kind of like working with artists from all genres, and so that's what I'm excited about right now. And it's been a lot of fun. So yeah, 715music.com, you know, the word 7 spelled out, 15music.com. and yeah, just you know, want people to come along with this journey as I kind of like take on this musical vagabond road, and just go from like one artist to the next, one idea to execution. So yeah, it's fun, man.
Awesome. Well, we definitely gonna keep it locked in and locked and loaded. Looking forward to all the great things you got coming, man. Bro, you know,
appreciate it, man.
Of course, brother. And you know, for all the listeners out there, Hilton's definitely going to be on the actual panel for the seminar, so definitely tap in all those gems that he got, man. He got the jewelry store, he got the gems, you know, so yeah, definitely, man. So yeah, so we appreciate you, brother. Thanks again, man.
All right, man. Take care.
Definitely, man. And once again, this was the Diagnosis Success Podcast. As always, stay motivated, inspired, and tap into your higher self.
Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans, y'all. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how